is the Chris Abraham Show.
Hey, this is the Chris Abraham Show, Season 6, Episode, I think 6. My name's Chris Abraham, and I have quite a funny theme today that has nothing to do with boundary issues yet, except it's not. Ah, man, I cut right through my finger yesterday. I was trying to put this thing called a gym boss on one of the molly webs on the shoulders of one of my backpacks. I think I'm going to put it on this one. And it had one of those springs to allow the springy, clip to exist. And it broke, and I sliced my finger open with that steel spring clip, the bare spring. Today I'm wearing an Agilite, I think it's called Agilite, a salt pack, because it's the perfect thing for me to use, because I think today I'm going to do a little bit of slow jogging. I think today is my first day of the rest of my life. I'm going to, and unlike the GORUCK bags, which are extremely heavy, I have like 90% of my gear, maybe 80% of my gear in here. And man, it feels like I'm not wearing anything. Mind you, yesterday I was wearing a 30-pound pack. A pack with a 30-pound plate. So now that we've done all that foreplay, I wrote this onto my abraham.su instance of Mastodon. College, fall 2023. Everyone is looking for their safe spaces and their freedom of speech, and everyone's feeling unsafe and victimized, and protected groups are feeling unsafe because they feel physically threatened by other protected groups, and free speech is being made too, quote, expensive, unquote, for anyone to enjoy because of cancel culture and doxing. While the young Republicans and campus Christians are beginning to consider believing in karma. So that was my witticism for today. Aside from saying that when everybody calls everything war crimes and crimes against humanity, it's just like everybody calling everybody Nazis, Hitler, and fascist. At some point, calling everybody and everything those things, it becomes meaningless. And even turns the tables, like I said in yesterday's show, associating historically dangerous and awful epithets to things that people value, which is safety, lawfulness, not having anybody carjack them or rob them or steal from them or make them not want to go out at night or feel like they have to move into a gated community or buy firearms or practice for a possible home invasion or reconsider where and if their kids go to K-12 and reconsider where and if their children go to a top 25 university or whether they make other choices. So it seems to me that with regards to this on-campus craziness, like the only reason I thought of it and I came up with this banal witticism, my twin sister, Linda Goyne, my identical twin from a different decade, a different mother, a different father, and a different place on earth, but she's still my genetic twin. She really, first of all, she is so extremely leftist that even I... Well, okay, she constantly calls me a tone-deaf, entitled, elitist fuck or something like that. Or she calls me all the mansplaining, white male entitlement, emperor. I wonder if when Marlisa, my other sister, my other twin from, oh man, she was so indulging me. Marlisa Mensink, she used to call me emperor, and I think that was in the same way that Linda makes it. right? Like for me, as a overconfident man who doesn't have any special skills but has always been treated like a special little boy, when you call me something like Zeus or Emperor or anything like that, I'm going to take it face value. I'm going to like think that you think I'm Zeus, so you think I'm the Emperor of your life. You think I'm awesome. I'll take these things at face value as compliments, not as passive-aggressive digs. And I always tell people, lie to me beautifully. I would rather be flattered and attaboyed than constantly being group-kicked down in the ground like in some Buffy movie where Xander's on the ground and 12 vampires are kicking the stuffing out of him. Oh, I'm on season 6 of Buffy, man. I have been fully immersed in Buffy. I enjoy one episode in the morning and one episode in the evenings. And man, season 5 was awesome. I used to think that season 5 and season 6 were junk because there was no Angel and no Cordelia and no high school, right? It's all college. And I wasn't sure I liked Adam. I wasn't sure I liked Riley. I wasn't sure, you know. I knew that I loved Willow and Tara, and I always liked Xander, but you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. If you know, you know. So, based on this, I was listening to, was I listening to CNN, or was I listening to Fox, or was I listening to something else? I go through a lot of stuff, and anyway, this young woman was saying that she's a co-ed, I'll say it. She was a young college-age, undergrad college-age woman, and she was like, my professors are telling me to take off my Star of David, my Star of David from around my neck while on campus, and I don't know what to say, right? Like, in a world when everybody's calling each other names, the people who've been calling the names, who say that they've been called the names, are being called the names, and they're not liking it, and so she's like, I came to college because it was a safe space. And nobody has ever told me that college was a safe space. College isn't a safe space. That's your daddy's freaking, you know, that's your daddy's den, I guess, unless you have a rapey, assaulting experience with your dad. But college is supposed to be challenging, and it's supposed to take all of your ideas and put them through a blender. And you're supposed to feel challenged and outraged and excited. And you're supposed to change your mind and maybe about face on a couple things. And maybe build a little compassion and context in the world. It's not supposed to be an effing safe space. One of the great things about going to GW is that I spent all my years at GW in an excessively unsafe space. If you ever got off of campus, I mean, GW, I started in fall 1988, 89, 90, then went to University of East Anglia Norwich, which is an extremely safe space. And then I took a year of French in UH Manoa, which is an extremely safe space. And before college and senior year of high school, I ran out of credits to take. So I took philosophy courses my entire senior year at the university that touches St. Louis, which is called Chaminade. And that was a pretty safe space, but it wasn't a safe space for ideas. I mean, at least I never tell a fucking professor what he wants to hear. I'll always try to bring up something that I think is important, I think is interesting, and I think is insightful. It's not a safe space if you go into a classroom and you have a philosophical insight and everybody in the class hisses at you and tells you that you're making them feel unsafe, right? Like, it should be the college Republicans and the Christian fellowships on campus who feel the most threat and the most et cetera. So it's not okay that anybody on campus should have to remove their kippah or their Star of David or their headscarf or their cross, or not carry their prayer beads, or be able to wear anything they want to signify, you know, all the way down to whatever type of clothes you need to wear in order to honor your God. Free speech is always going to be the tough stuff. Free speech is never the easy stuff. So, like I said, the young Republicans are starting to feel a little bit of karma, even though they necessarily do not even believe in yoga or karma or dharma, because they like to think that those are vessels of evil. I'm here at Starbucks, and I'll talk to you guys in a few. Now, I'm not Glee. I know that I feel like I'm kind of rubbing it in everybody's face with regards to how amused I am, how unsafe Jewish Americans and Palestinian Americans and Israeli Americans and Muslim Americans are feeling on campus. But, you know, GW was such an amazing place in the late 80s, right? There were tons of Kuwaitis and Persians, and they were all rich. They all had, like, Lamborghinis. And then, of course, the nickname of GW, my alma mater, is GW Jew, which I consider a compliment, but a lot of people consider it an insult. And there was a very high proportion of Jewish students. And so mote it be. And so it was an amazing experience. It was a constant dynamic tension between basically rich young Jewish Americans and extremely rich young Middle Easterners. But I don't think I really saw GW's not the kind of place to have, you know, debates in the quad kind of thing, where we might be at the top of the second tier, but we're certainly a second tier university. So we never became that active, although it might be now. Our school went from scruffy second tier to Gucci second tier in the last 30 years. But I want, the only reason I bring this up, and I promise I'm not dunking on all y'all, but I want to remind you that American democracy and America's Constitution are not okay as long as Nazis are not allowed to speak their mind in the public space, and unless literal Nazis dressed up in, you know, Hugo Boss with their dumb little swastikas are allowed to march goose step or whatever they want down the main street, right? Because Nazis in America, like I'm talking about neo-Nazis in, you know, Doc Martens with funny laces kind of Nazis, I'm also talking about the dudes with the white polo shirts and khakis and tiki torches. And I'm also, I'm not talking about FBI agents dressed up as Nazis so as to foment rage and get counter protesters and result in a vehicular manslaughter of a Nazi versus Antifa counter protester. That's not what I'm talking about. But if you can't create a world where a Nazi wearing, I guess they're tan outfits with jack boots and swastikas and funny BSDM, like gay bear hats, you can't give them space to talk their crazy, unfettered, and unmolested. And if you do not allow them to peacefully protest by marching through Main Street, let's say in Maine, then you're going to end up, that's your canary in a coal mine. As long as America makes it safe for frickin' glamour Nazis, or what are they called? I don't know, LARPing McLARP faces. Like, there's no way that anybody in a tan outfit with leather jack boots and a foppish, silly, blonde haircut and a sexy, like BDSM bear hat is ever going to be the leader of anything anywhere, right? Not even Nazis, not even fascists, not even white supremacists like the LARPing Nazis. I feel like Nazism in America is sort of a gray man endeavor where you have to know what you're looking for. In the same way that back in the day when everybody was in the closet, you had signifiers, right? Theoretically, maybe. Same thing like neo-Nazis back in the day, I know for sure. Back in the day, gay culture, I think, worked around the color of the handkerchief hanging out of your pocket, like depending on what you're into or maybe the type of ear piercing you had. I know that amongst white supremacists and neo-Nazis in the 70s and 80s had a lot to do with the color of your Doc Martin 18-inch boots, like whether they were this color or that. It was sort of like the Bloods and the Crips, right? It was a signifier that you knew if you knew, and you don't know if you don't know. So generally speaking, if you create a signifier that brings up multi-generational trauma in public, you're the asshole, right? So don't be surprised if something terrible happened. Or you're just an FBI stooge or a federal agent who's trying to put that out there to foment your paycheck, right? So if you make the world into a dangerous place and there's domestic terrorists everywhere and there's hidden cells of terrorists and don't forget 9/11 and don't forget January 6th, never forget January 6th, you can make sure that you get all the budget. You know what they say about government budget? Use it or lose it. So if we live in a safe country, you better be making crime in order to fight it. Anyway, back to the news. So, like I always tell everybody, the moment a bunch of dressed up Nazi McNazi faces who are dressed like it's 1939 and a half in their Hugo Boss inspired vestments and tall, shiny man boots, the moment they are not given free access to speak their crazy out in public and march their crazy or jack boots or jack, you know, goose step themselves up and down the boulevard without counter protesters throwing, like, it's always the escalation, right? 100% of the time, it's you asshole Antifa fucks who escalate these things to where it becomes vehicular manslaughter and getting shot in the face. So anyway, it's never the crime, it's always the escalation. Never the crime, always the escalation that results in getting shot in face. Not Schadenfreude, Schadenfeise. So as long as they're safe and able to do their crazy out in public by, you know, feeling all powerful and performative and, you know, don't forget this is before they had bronies, right? Like, I'm sure these guys who were dressed up in fabulous Russian Nazi attire, like, became bronies and whatever the repression resulted in. They became brony bears. That's what they became, brony bears. All probably repressed LGBTQIA people who needed to kind of let a different freak flag fly and not the Russia, not the Nazi swastika on a white circle on a red field. That was not their kink. Although, honestly, pride flag, pride parade, a lot of commonalities there, I hate to say. So, if you disallow the free, unfettered access to public space and communication of your biggest bogeyman, the literal World War II Hitler-esque, boss attired Nazi avatar, then once you start making that illegal, or that frowned upon, or that must be responded to with extreme violence and shouted down or punched down or literally by any means necessary quelled, you're soon going to find yourself with your Justice for Palestine parade and your Palestine flag and your Palestine-inspired neckerchiefs. You're going to find yourself in jail, or oppressed, or repressed, or doxxed, or blackballed, or thrown asunder. Or if you oppress and suppress and annihilate the ability of fancy dress, costumed, bedecked, silly face Nazis, literal Nazis in tan and blousy pants and shiny freaking jackboots, funny hats and funny mustaches and foppish hair. If you suppress that, then before you know it, the same exact thing is going to happen to you with your amazing white flag with blue Star of David and your kippahs and your ubiquitous, the GW ubiquitous, beautiful Star of David necklaces and parades in support of Israel. There'll be counter-protesters, maybe Antifa, who are going to call you Nazis and throw bricks at you and maybe shoot you in the face or not, and maybe take pictures of you and dox you and your family and all that other fun stuff. There'll be, because we snuffed it out because by any means necessary, we snuffed out our little canary in the coal mine, which is the crazy, bizarre, anachronistic, silly guys in fancy dress costume designed to make you go completely crazy. And you, very well in the last 20 years, put your... When the ACLU stopped legally protecting and representing those crazy drama queen, theater kid, costumed Nazis and turn their back on them, the ACLU literally put a pillow over the poor little beak and snuffed it out. And now all of those laws, all of those precedents, P-R-E-C-E-D-E-N-T-S, and all that precedents, P-R-E-C-E-D-E-N-C-E, are being levied and used against your protected class based on the precedent that any kind of hurtful speech, based on what anybody finds hurtful, and based on the fact that any words can be violent, and any words can hurt, and any words can be hate crimes, and crimes against humanity and war crimes. You made your bed, and now you're going to sleep in it, and I don't know if you're going to be comfortable with that, and you literally will not know what to do. I mean, it's going to be incredible to think about that. Anyway, love you guys. Chris Abraham Show, Season 6, Episode 6, about all kinds of crazy stuff. Love you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to The Chris Abraham Show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. Until next time.